Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll read a few verses in a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to tell you a little story that is all too familiar. This story could be told 1,000 times over, and here it is. Mr. Smith and his family were faithful attendees and members of the Independent Baptist Church in their town. Mr. Smith and his family went there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They were good people. But as time progressed, the attitude of the family began to change. Something was happening in those people's hearts. They began missing church. It started with Wednesday night. They drifted away. Suddenly they weren't found. They were there in their spot every Wednesday. But suddenly they were gone. Then they weren't there for Sunday school. Then they missed Sunday evening. Then they were only sporadic on Sunday morning. Well, Mr. Jones, a faithful member of the church, had worked with Mr. Smith. And he also noticed at work that Mr. Smith's comments were not all that positive about the church. Matter of fact, he was saying some things that were critical, so Mr. Jones decided to have lunch with Mr. Smith to see what in the world's going on. And so the two men sat down for lunch, and they had lunch together, and some small talk went about, and Mr. Jones asked him, he says, Mr. Smith, and he said his first name, what's going on with you and church? And Mr. Smith made the following statement. He said this, "My wife and I have decided to leave the church." Now, Mr. Jones was kind of perplexed, and he wanted to allow him to keep speaking, and so he waited for some explanation. So after a pause, he gave several reasons why. Here's some of the reasons he said. He said, "We came to the church to learn some deep truths about the Bible, but Pastor is not feeding us anymore. He says the same things over and over again, and we're not getting anything out of his messages." Then he went on to say, "There are some great families in the church, but our church is full of hypocrites. Did you hear Jim at the kids' basketball game, how he screamed at the ref? And how about Blake, a church leader who cheated on his wife? That's the kind of church it is." Then he went on to say, "Pastor acts like he cares for us, but I'm not so sure he really does. I told him that my wife's uncle's cousin was in the hospital for hernia surgery, and he never even visited him." He went on to say this, "We love your family. You serve, you give, and you're faithful, but I think you are just blind to all the problems in the church." His last statement was the most revealing. He said this, "I guess you and I are just different church members." I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Will one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Notice verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We'll stop there and pray. Father, please help us tonight to get a biblical understanding of what you teach us about the church and about church membership. Lord, I pray for a filling of your Spirit fresh tonight. I pray that you'd enable me to preach thy word. And Lord, I pray that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up today. And I pray if someone's here tonight that's not saved, that they'd come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please enable me, bless, and help us to be, Lord, both hearers and doers of the word, and not hearers only. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a survey done of 557 churches from the year 2004 to the year 2010, where it was found that 9 out of 10 churches in America, think about that, are declining or growing at a slower pace than the community around them. So the community's growing, but churches are not. Do you know that while 66% of those born before 1946 claim to be Christians, today, in this millennial generation that we call it, only 15% of these millennials, those that are born between 1980 and 2000, claim to be Christians today. Imagine that. I mean, years ago, a generation or two ago, 66% claimed Christianity, but today, only 15%. And the point is this, while the population is still growing, the average church is reaching less and less people. Now, why is that? Why is the average church reaching less and less people? Well, we can blame it on a lot of things. I'm sure your list is as long as mine. Maybe you'd say secular culture, right? Our culture is being secularized. Maybe you'd say the ungodly educational system. Maybe you'd say the politics, the godless politics. Maybe you'd say liberalism in so many churches. Maybe so. But tonight I'd like to suggest something else. And really this book suggests something else. And I think it's based on the Bible. And that is this. Look in the mirror. Let's look in the mirror. Maybe we're weak because we do not have a biblical understanding of what it means to be a member of the local church. Do you understand what it means to be a member of a local church? What exactly does it mean? Maybe the problem is us. I think there's some biblical basis for that thesis, and here's what I mean. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. In other words, instead of looking out and blaming and saying, look what's wrong with the culture, look what's wrong with the politics and our government, look what's wrong with the educational system, God says, hold the bus there. Wait a minute now. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Because if God's church were powerful, nothing could stop it. Nothing at all. And again, judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? Now, I'd like for us to notice some verses from our text, just to kind of like to lay the foundation here. Notice verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Notice here the word body and the word member. Go down to verse 20. But now are they members, yet but one body. Notice verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now notice your sheet here tonight that I gave you. I want to be preaching on the subject of this. I will be a functioning church member. Now what does that mean? Now I was thinking about having us all raise our right hand, place our hand on the Bible and repeat after me. I will be a functioning church member. But maybe I ought to let you just do that on your own at the end of the message. What does it mean to be a functioning church member? You know, when I was young, we lived in Aston, Pennsylvania. And I lived there for probably about five years, but a pretty critical time in my life. And at any rate, I wasn't saved, went to Christian home, so, you know, understand the story here. We joined what was called White Sand Swim Club. It was one of those swim clubs that they have. I mean, it was a huge, huge pool. Biggest pool I'd ever seen in my entire life. I mean, like 5, 6, 7, or 8 Olympic-sized pools. Well, I think at the time it was about $100 a person to join. Now, joining that swim club meant certain things. It meant we got to go in when they were open anytime we wanted to. All we had to do was show our card and go in. We could use the picnic area that was at the pool. They had a pool and a lake and a picnic area. We could do that. We could order a burger from the snack shop. They had good burgers at the snack shop, too. We could bring in a guest if we wanted to. We could use their meeting room that they had for birthday parties and so on. And from that experience, I learned some lessons about membership. I learned this, that membership means privileges. That's what I thought. Yeah, right? You're a member of something. Hey, that means that I have certain privileges. Now, write these three phrases down or words down here on your sheet. Membership means, and this is what we think, it means privileges. It means perks, doesn't it? It does, I think so. It means that others will serve me. I mean, hey, I'm a member. Others are going to do what it takes to keep me satisfied, to keep me a member in that organization. All I have to do is pay the going rate, and I can have others taking care of me while I enjoy a life of leisure. Now, that's the idea of membership. And really, it's the same with any secular membership. Think about it. When people want you to join this, just about every time you go to a cash register today, they'll say, do you have a such and such gold card or member card? Are you part of this club and all that? I mean, just about every store has that. They want you to be a member. They want you to be a part of their group. But you see this type of thing in any secular membership. You see it at the country club. You see it at Sam's Club. You see it at AAA. You see it at the gym. All of them are the same. You become a member, you pay, therefore you get privileges. That's the way it works. Now, the sad thing about that is that many Christians carry that thinking over and that understanding about membership into the local church. They have the same philosophy, the same idea. People say many things today that reflect this attitude. For example, people will say things like this. And I'm not talking about our church, of course. We would never say things like that. But I heard about other churches that say this. They say things like this. This is my church, so you have to play the music the way I want it to be played. Or they'll say, look, Pastor, you need to remember who pays your salary. People will say things like this. If you don't do fill in the blank, whatever they want to say, I'll withhold my giving or my check from the church. I actually had somebody say that to me one time years ago. They said to me, you know what? I'm not giving any money to that your church or this church anymore. Ooh, I thought, you know, really, are you hurting me? You're only hurting yourself. But anyway, there's this attitude here because they were a little upset about some things that they didn't really like. Some would say things like this. I've been a member of this church for over 30 years, so I have a right to whatever, get what I want, sit in my seat, say what I want to say, act as I want to act, and so forth. On and on it goes. You see, many Christians have a secular view of membership. They really do. To them, membership is about receiving instead of giving. It's about being served instead of serving. It's about the rights that they have instead of the responsibilities they have. It's about entitlements instead of sacrifices. And any giving, giving of themselves or giving of money, is seen almost as membership dues that entitle them to certain things. And so tonight, what I'd like to do, let's just take a few moments and see what exactly does it mean to be a church member. In other words, what does it mean to be, and we're going to get to the end of it, as we're going to find out, it means to be a functioning church member. What exactly is a functioning church member? Well, tonight let's look at four principles of church membership that I believe will help us understand what it means to be a church member. Here's number one. The first principle I want us to write down is this. We must understand we are all necessary parts of the whole. You're important. Did you know that? You're important. Now notice verse 12 of our text. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now notice this, for the body is not one member, but many. Now here in 1 Corinthians 12, the local church is likened to a body, like a physical body. Think of it that way. You could talk about any functioning thing. But understand something, that every Christian, every born-again believer is supposed to be, according to the Bible, a member of a local, visible New Testament church. That's a good spot for an amen. I figured that'd come out right there. How many believe that? Would you raise your hand? That you are supposed to be, now don't just raise your hand, you're supposed to. I mean, really, do you believe that? Every Christian should be a member of a local New Testament church. When we say local and visible, we mean visible, not invisible, local and visible. It means, you know, it's local. It's within a reasonable distance, so you can serve, you can be involved, you can attend anytime the doors are open. New Testament, meaning that it's structured doctrinally by the New Testament. It's structured with the pastor as a leader and deacons as well, if needed, and then members of that church. You ought to have a church that you belong to, that you are a member of. You see, church membership is a biblical principle. You see, the biblical order, now turn back to Acts chapter 2, just a little bit to your left there, because we see the biblical order here that's very important to understand. The biblical order is salvation, baptism, church membership. Now that's, you know, basic Christianity. But notice what we find in verse 41. Then they that gladly, of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word. That you ought to write next to that, salvation. He preached the gospel to them. He told them how to be saved. He told them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And if they would repent of their sin and trust him as Savior, they'd be saved. And they did that day. They received his word. They received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And notice what happened after that. They were baptized. We know the word baptize is the Greek word baptizo. It's a transliteration, which means to dip, to bury, to immerse. It is the only mode of baptism in the Bible. It's by immersion, for believers only, by immersion only. So right after they got saved, they got baptized. But then notice this phrase, and the same day they were added unto them. There's church membership. They identified themselves with this body. How many of them? About 3,000 souls. In case you question that, look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so notice this is very important, because if you're not saved here tonight, I know God's will for you to get saved. If you're saved and haven't been scripturally baptized, I know God's will for you, because it's what the Word of God teaches. I'm not trying to puff myself up, but the Bible's clear. You are to be scripturally baptized. If you're saved and scripturally baptized and you're not a member of a local New Testament church, that's the next thing you are to do. Become a member. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Word of God is it taught that a Christian should float around from church to church. You don't find that in the Bible. There is no biblical precedent for church hopping. Well, I'll go over here this Sunday, and maybe Sunday night I'll go over and check this one out, and then we'll float over here, and then we'll float over there. We'll stay under the radar. Maybe no one will know where we are, that sort of thing. Well, God knows where you are. And that's not in the Bible. That's, in fact, that goes against what God is trying to do. Even just merely being a church attendee is not in the Bible as well. Now, I understand that there are some times when you move to a new place and you're trying to find a local church to be a member of. There are certain times, certainly, where you should check out churches to make sure they're doctrinally sound and they're preaching the right things. But once you find it, you need to join it. It's not God's will for you to float around your entire life. Find a place and become a member of that local New Testament church. Now, but the key here is this, is that membership is biblical. Now, the Bible explains members, though, differently than secular culture. And that's very, very important. You see, secular culture sees membership as something you can either take or leave. In other words, you're checking out at Ace Hardware, and they say, do you have a special rewards club with card? Would you like to be a part of our club members? You can say, well, let me think about it. Ah, nah, not today, maybe another time. See, it's a give, it's a take it or leave it. It's optional, where the Bible actually gives church membership as a command. Now, you may disobey that command. It still has to be a decision of your will, but the point is, it is a command of God. It's a command, because every member understands something in every local New Testament church is an essential, vital, necessary part of the whole. And I hope we'll see that in a little bit. Notice back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 14. Because we're talking about this body here. That's speaking of this is how we're to function in a local New Testament church. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Notice, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And so notice, he's talking about the different parts, and all the parts are absolutely necessary for the whole. So remember that tonight as point number one, or principle number one, that we are all, if you're a member here at Capital Baptist Church, praise the Lord for that. But understand, you are a necessary part of the whole. Point number one, all right? Principle number two, write this down. Here's the second thing. We are all different. Amen? Come on now, we're different. But we still work together. We still do. Now, look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? We're different. Now, in a country club and those types of things, you pay others to do the work for you, right? Isn't that what, you know, and you're getting the benefits. But in the local church, it's a little bit different. Here's why. Every member actually has a role or a function. Everyone has something. Now, certainly, we're all different. Again, in verses, the verses before, when he's talking about the body, he's talking about this local church is a body, and you have a body parts. You have eyes, and you have ears, and you have hands, and you have feet, and they're all different, very, very different. And it's the same thing in the church. We're different. Oh, believe me, we're different. Amen. But think about it in a good way. Some people have different gifts. We all have different abilities. Some God has enabled to preach. Some he has enabled to teach. Some to sing. Some to play an instrument. We have different personalities. Some people are quiet. Some people are really talkative. And some people are really talkative. But anyway, some are gifted with children. Some are good with computers. Some are good with the sound. soundboard. Some can clean. They're just good at cleaning. Some can repair vehicles. Some can do building maintenance. But understand, all of us have been given different personalities and abilities. But we should never allow those differences to cause things like jealousy or animosity or perhaps coveting what someone else does. And that's an easy thing to do. I mean, think about it. Let's say you've been led of God and gifted of God to perhaps work in the nursery or something like that. And you could say, you can almost get to the place where you say, well, I wish I was doing what somebody else was doing. I'd rather be there. Why can't I be standing in front of a Sunday school class teaching a lesson? We can't do that. You are to find, and we went over gifts before, find your gift and exercise it. Again, we're all different, but here's the key. We are to work together, though. We are to be in harmony together. That's what this body of Christ is all about. A lot of different people, different ages, different talents, different situations, different personalities. God places us all in here to be, yes, different, not all to be the same. We all can't be an eye. We all can't be an ear. We all can't be hands. We all have our different functions, but all of them work together, and that's vitally important. You see, each part of the body must do its job. Must do it. When each body part of the body does its job, then the body functions well. But if a part of the body is not doing its job, then the whole body suffers. You ever think about that? I think sometimes one of the greatest hindrances to a church moving forward are the people not necessarily that do wrong, but the people that don't do anything. Hello? Well, I'm here. I'm glad you're here. But there's more to membership. This isn't a country club. We're not, it's not something like that. This is a local New Testament church. So understand, again, we're all different, but we still work together. Number three, here's a third one, a third principle. We are to have a biblical foundation of, write this word down, love. Now, we're talking about functioning here. And it's very important to understand this. If we're going to function, we have to understand that every one of us is necessary to make up the whole. We have to understand we're all different, doing different things in different ways at different times, yet we're all functioning together for the same purpose for this local church. But then this whole thing has to have a biblical foundation of love. Now I know the liberals like to talk about love, to the extent where they deny some doctrine. We can love people and love one another and still stand for the truth. Amen. Now, if you remember this church at Corinth, here, think about this for a moment. They were a spiritual mess. I mean, there was divisions in this church way back in chapter 1. There were contentions with one another in chapter 1. They were cliques. There were a lot of cliques. You had those that were the Paul clique. And then you had the Apollos clique. Then you had the Christ clique and all that. There were doctrinal errors. There was sin that wasn't being addressed. There were Christians in the church suing one another, going to law to the unbelievers. Can you imagine a business meeting at the church at Corinth? I mean, can you imagine even calling that thing? Forget about it. No way, man. It would be a mess. Now, we know that the great charity or love chapter is chapter 13. Look at it just right there, right after chapter 12. But don't forget the immediate context of this. Often we talk about how we ought to love in our marriage, and we go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we should go there. But really, in its context, it's talking about in the church. It's talking about within the local New Testament church. Look what he says here in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, charity is basically love in action. That's what it is. It is the action of love. It's not just the idea, the principle, it's doing it. And he's going to show you exactly what it is. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul's saying here, you know, I can speak all kinds of languages. I could be eloquent, yet if I don't have it based with love or bathed with love, he says, I might as well be up here just tinkling a little cymbal up here, because that's all the effect my words are going to have. Just like a symbol. And then he says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, he was a preacher, and understand all mysteries. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, met with him. And all knowledge. Wow, he knew a lot about the Word of God. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. He goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, notice, it profiteth me nothing. And then he goes on to list what charity is. And this is very important, because he's talking about, in its context, about how a church ought to function. If we're going to function together, being necessary parts and being all different but contributing to the whole, then we better make sure that we have these things that we read from verses 4 to 7. Notice, charity suffereth long and is kind. It envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Wow, if we could just live those things out as a church, I think we possibly could see revival. I mean, think about it. If we don't think wrong of people, if we're kind to people, if we're patient and suffer long with people that may rub us the wrong way and things like that, imagine if we just had this charity he's speaking of. Again, we're not just to love the church members that we get along with. We're not just to love the ones and have charity towards those that are like us or that just think like us. We are to not just try and love the lovable, if you will. We are to even love the unlovable. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not to just to pray and encourage the pastor when he does things that we like, and not when he does things we don't like. You should pray and encourage him all the time. You don't serve in the church only when other people are serving or when you feel like it. You serve in the church even if you do it alone. You see, this is biblical love. It is a sacrifice. It is a decision. And understand, if we're going to function as a church, that has to be throughout our attitudes within all of us. And then the last one, number 4. This is probably going to hopefully bring it all together. Notice, number 1, we are all necessary parts of the whole. 2, we are all different, but we still work together. 3, we are to have a biblical foundation of love. And 4th is we are to be functioning church members. Okay? So I get it, preacher. You're saying that, I'm a necessary part of this thing. That's right. You're saying I'm different, and I have to do my part, but I'm contributing to the whole. That's right. You got it now. And then when I do this, I'm going to, you know, there's going to be times when we, you know, personalities and just people, because we're people, that I'm going to have to exercise this charity you're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah, you got it now. But then we're supposed to function. You know how you remain a member of a country club? How do you stay a member of a country club? Just pay your dues, right? I guarantee you, if I went over at whatever country club and whatever golf club and I plopped down the whatever thousands of dollars of dues it is for a year, I would probably guarantee that they would take my money. I think they would take it. And if I didn't do anything else throughout the year, if I went back the next year, if I didn't show up and play one round of golf, and I don't golf, but anyway, if I went back the next year and plopped another, whatever the dues were, they'd be glad that I was a member again. How many believe that? You believe that? That's how all I have to do is keep paying my dues. You see, you do that, and what happens is your name remains on the membership list. It's still there. And people, when you do go, will be available to serve you or do whatever. But do you know what or how to be a biblical church member? It's not just to pay your dues. I want you to notice on the back, I think I have, notice the two ingredients, if you will, and both of these are necessary. The first one is this: give abundantly. You're not given to man, you're given to God. Give. You don't come to a church and join a church to get. You come to give. Give abundantly. Give joyfully. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what church membership is. And then the second one is this: serve in the church without hesitation. Notice without hesitation. We need somebody to set up the tables for this next month's fellowship. Well, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Well, that sounds real spiritual, but it's not what it means to be a church member. You see, to be a church member, when things like that come up, and I know there's certain things, if you're talking about pretty big ministry decisions, you need to pray about everything. But if someone asks you, would you please take the garbage out or would you help cut the grass, I don't think, if you have the time, I don't think you have to pray about that. Because you've already committed to that type of thing when you became a member of a church. You see, but we don't think of it that way. You see, we're to give abundantly and then serve without hesitation. Now again, the key phrase is that's what a biblical church member is. That's how they function. But you know, today you can remain on the rolls of many churches and rarely even show up. You can. You'd be amazed. You know, when I had gone both to Oxford and when I came here, one of the first things I asked for both times, I said, could I have a membership role? Well, in Oxford, they were like, we don't have a membership role. But anyway, there weren't that many people anyway, so there they are. But they did produce something that had all these names on it, and I said, who are these people? Who are they? Yeah, some of them were dead. I'm not kidding you. Some of them were dead. Some of them were who knows where. And I'd ask people, I said, well, who's this? Well, they came here, you know, 20 years ago. Well, where are they? I don't know. You know, same thing here. When I got the role, it was like, well, who are these folks? I don't even know who they are. And they say, well, they think they're members. Well, what makes them think they're a member if they haven't been here for 10 years? I've gone to visit people that haven't been at this church, and even when we were in Oxford, for 10 or 15 years, and they say, oh, yes, I'm a member there. And I want to say, you don't understand. You do not understand. It's not a country club. It's not I put my name on a list about 20 years ago, and therefore I am this indefinite member. And if I come in when there's a vote on something, you know, it's kind of funny, because when I came here, I remember the night I came here and they were voting on me. The place was full of people, and I remember someone saying, well, a lot of these people don't come here all the time. And I thought, really? Well, I didn't know anybody. Everybody was new to me. But I'll tell you what, a whole bunch of them, I haven't seen them in a long time. But boy, when it came up for a decision, you know what? They were all of a sudden a member. And it had been years since they had been here. But in their mind, they have the idea, I'm a member. Is that what it is? Is that what biblical membership is? It's not at all. And you know what? Churches have these extensive roles, and people on there rarely, if ever, show up, and they never give, yet churches don't make a fuss about it. In fact, they kind of like it, because they can say, well, we have 350 members. And you come on a Wednesday night, and there's 60 people there. And you're like, where are they? Something is wrong. They have the idea if they show up at Christmas and Easter that you remain, really, if you did in most churches, you would remain an active member. If you just showed up at Christmas and Easter, you could even give to the church and not lift a finger to do anything in the church and identify yourself as a member of the church. Now, it's interesting. I'm trying to say here that this type of membership is man-made. It's man-made. Now, I know for legal reasons we have to do that. What we do here at Capitol is we say that if you're not here, barring a deployment or a shut-in or something like that, a legitimate reason that you can't come, but if you don't show up for 6 months, you are in what we call an inactive member. And then after a year, you're automatically off the roll. It should be that way. That's not being mean. How many say that's not mean, right? You understand that? It's not being mean. Oh, you mean to tell me we're going to carry the load for this place and you're going to show up and say you're a member and you haven't even done a thing to help or even had any input in it or had any input in trying to reach someone with the gospel or throw a nickel in the plate to help turn a light on? Everybody else is born that? You see, there's a problem there. We must be functioning church members. You know, really, the phrase inactive church member is an oxymoron. Inactive church member. But church member is active. So how can you be an inactive church member? If you're a church member, you're active. Right? But I understand why we do that. You know, they've done studies and that have shown that most church roles are overinflated by at least 3 times. In other words, if they have 300 on the rolls, the most they'll ever get in any service is 100 of those people. And 200 of them are gone. Then nobody knows where they are. Now, a biblical church, and I want you to notice this because this is really the, everything has come to these last two phrases here. A biblical church does 2 things. Number one, it functions as a unified whole. And then number two, yet each of the parts function as well. Do you get that? In other words, we are Capital Baptist Church. We want to follow the leadership of God, correct? Amen. So we are going to function under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the under-shepherd of the pastor, to get the mind of God and move in a direction of what to do and how to do it. And we're to do it all together. We're to function as a whole, yet within that whole, everyone has to be doing their little parts. This person has to be teaching the Sunday school class. This person has to be doing the nursery, but not in their own way, doing it the way we're moving together. You see, and so my question tonight is this, and maybe I spent a lot of time for just something real simple, I don't know. But my question tonight is this, are you a functioning church member? Are you? Think about it like a bike. A bike goes somewhere, right? Has all these parts on it. There's the pedals, there's the handlebars, there's the brakes, the wheel, whatever, the chain and the seat. You take a piece out, now some of it will... You know, you could still function, but never as good as if you had the whole thing. The moment a piece is missing, it's not going to function as good as it could with everything. So that means everybody in that's a member of a church, whether it be Capital Baptist Church or another church, should be functioning within that church. Functioning as an individual, doing their part, but also moving along with the whole program of the church. And I guarantee you, if we had that, you know how many people would reach? A lot of people. Can you imagine what our services would be like if every member actually just came to church? So where's the problem? Honestly. Is it the culture? Is it the government? Is it the politicians? Well, we could disagree with a lot of things they're doing, but they haven't been called to reach a lost and dying world. We have. And we're to do it through the local New Testament church. And we can do it. We can do it. God would never give us something we couldn't do. He's not an evil God that sits up there and goes, okay, you try this. Ha ha, can't get it. Oh, there you go. Keep trying to get it. He gives us something we can do if we were functioning church members. Let's all function. Amen? Let's do something. Let's get involved. Let's be a part of the whole. Amen? All right, let's pray.